One of the few times I didn't get done all the verses. I really wanted to get out to verse 15 and 16 last week and start 17 this week, but I didn't do it because I was like kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. Chapter 4, and I don't want to, you know, reteach it, but it's a call to unity. The first three chapters are doctrine. You're this, you're this, you're this, you're this. The last three chapters, starting in verse 4, answer the so what question. Okay, you're a Christian, so what? This what? This is it. This is the point. This is why and what we're supposed to do. We're first told that we're to walk in a worthy manner in verse 1. We're going to do that with humility, verse 2, and it mentions several of the fruits of the Spirit. And then it's a call to unity in the body. And then he says, you know, there's only one body, verse 4. And then how are we going to walk in unity? Well, he's given us gifts in verse 7, and he goes on to discuss them. The 8, 9, and 10 is the when he gave them and why. Verse 11 is the gifts themselves. And these differing gifts help us to be unified. And it's the reason is, till back in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. So he's still talking about unity. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Grow up, is what he's saying. Be mature. Okay, kids are easily deceived. Santa Claus, anyone? And by the way, if I ruin somebody's Christmas, I'm sorry, okay? But at this point, most of us know. But kids are easy to deceive. You can tell them tooth fairy stuff. We have a bunny that lays eggs on Easter. They'll believe anything. Kids. But as a Christian, we shouldn't act like children anymore. We should be sober-minded. We should be a little blessed cynical. Not cynical in the sense of, God doesn't answer cynical prayers. But cynical in the sense of, okay, this guy's saying, he's got a Bible and he's saying some stuff. Test every spirit is what 1 John says, and that's what I'm trying to say. Cynical in the sense of just not everybody who says everything, well, they're on you. They got a YouTube channel. They must be the real deal, right? Listen, YouTube, okay, you can say anything on YouTube, right? But speaking the truth in love, this is where we let off, and this is where we start this week. Speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Two things we're calling to do, speak the truth and speak it in love. Because I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, in case you lost your place. Okay, speaking the truth in love. We're to speak the truth because falsehood doesn't help anybody. And by the way, when it came to Santa, we never lied to the kids. Now I'm not, you said, no, that's harmless fun. That's, God bless you. I'm not judgmental. I'm just, we just thought we never, look at a place where the kids come back, oh yeah, well you lied about that, you lied about other things. Would they really do that? Probably not. I don't know if your kids ever did that, but mine certainly didn't. But here's the thing. I just always wanted to be truth. But truth without love is severe, and it's judgmental, and it's harsh. I know a lot of people speak the truth, and they're pharisaical, and they're not a benefit to the cause of Christ at all. No, speak the truth in love. Now, love without truth, that's sloppy agape. I remember we had a piano player at a church I went to once, and we had things like special music, right? And she invited somebody who she knew that she was related to by marriage to share in special music. The woman was a lesbian. I don't know how else to say it. And I didn't know that at the time, because if I had known that, I would have, no, unacceptable, we can't have that. Because I was an elder of church, and I think I was an elder of church at that time, but I didn't know. But she thought, like, oh, she's just singing, and if she does, maybe she'll, you know, repent. And she was just, because she was all about love and stuff, and she was, too. Loving is any person I've ever, but not any discernment. No, you need love with your truth, okay? I know truth, just truth spoken without love is it's judgmental and it chases people away. You got truth. That's good. Well, and I've heard people say, you know, and be like harsh. And then when you call them on it, well, it's the truth. Well, yeah, I know. I'm not arguing that point. The argument is speaking the truth in love. You have to say it in such a way. Listen, I'm very concerned all the time when I talk. Some of the verses are, they can be presented really harsh, but I'm trying to represent. I am, like you are, an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know how Jesus Christ is. Okay, this is a time when you're turning the tables over and people are backpedaling furiously. And there's the woman caught in adultery. Hey, go and sin no more. You filthy woman, you! Do you even think of Jesus like that? The words tough love have been in our vocabulary for a long time, but I always reject that. I just think it's just love. Jesus loves Pharisees too. It looks different from him loving repentant sinners. He has to have like an edge on that sort of love to wake people up out of their doldrums and out of that spiritual sleep that's come upon them. It's still love. Jesus always acts in love. And that love would look a little bit different. You can't show me that he hates Pharisees. When Nicodemus comes to him, when he's saying, dude, you're the teacher in Israel, you don't know these things? Boy, that's kind of a little bit harsh. No, it was what he needed to know. It's what the greatest lover in the entire history of forever was loving Nicodemus, and he said, you got to know this. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to be the one who's telling everybody else. No, speak the truth in love. Now I'm going to go ahead and show you what that looks like the rest of the chapter, because these are some hard verses. And if I say them from a point of anger, we'd all be overwhelmed. You know, every week I can come in and say, you bunch of sinners. And you know what? I'm going to be right every single time. Me included, we're sinners and we're struggling to some point to right the ship, to do what God has called us to do. And, you know, we look at other people and say, boy, they got it all down. No. In one area, one aspect of life, probably they're not struggling with what you're struggling with. They might be struggling with somebody else, something else. And then we also look at people in a judgmental way. I've noticed this. Let's say your big deal is you're a smoker, right? You smoke or you know somebody else who does, right? Here's the thing. You shouldn't. And someone says, you shouldn't do that. Your body's a temple, blah, blah, blah. And you've heard all the verses. And by the way, you shouldn't. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying God deals with us in different... Because, you know, God's looking at that person. They know it's a health hazard. They know it's not great for their testimony. They know that they're spending money that could have been spent. But they already know all these things. And so why are they smoking? Because they're struggling, because it's hard, and because the people who make these make them super addictive. If they didn't, nobody would smoke, right? So here's the thing, and God's saying, yeah. Cool your jets, Adam. That's not what I'm interested in. That person, you know what? They've got a real pride thing going on, and I'm really concentrating on that. When they put away pride, that's keeping them humble. And if they are able to overcome that, especially if they perceive they've overcome by themselves, oh my goodness, they'll be so proud. You know people like that, right? No one's worse than an ex-smoker, right, about smoking. I never have, and I'm not really super harsh on people who smoke. I'm just giving a smoke as an example, okay, because it could be anything. I understand. So now, if I was the kind of person like, you know, I used to smoke, I've just decided that's not what a Christian ought to do, so I just kind of put them away, and you should follow my godly example. Don't you want to throw up in your mouth just a little bit right now? If I was coming across that way. Well, people who give it up sometimes come across that way. And I'm not saying God's using sin in your life. Well, he does, actually. I'm not saying he wants you to smoke or wants you to sin, but he's cleaning us up in such and such a way in the order that he wants it. You didn't hear me just say, go ahead and smoke. Okay? You didn't hear that. What you did hear is, let God be God. I've overcome sin X Let's call it swearing, okay? I had a filthy mouth before I was Christian. I was in the Marine Corps, goodness sake. I used the Lord's name in vain and used a lot of other colorful expressions. That's one thing God took from me. Again, praise his holy name. I hear it now, I cringe. I think it's sometimes about taping it and playing it back with somebody. Do you realize how ignorant you sound? You know what you are? You're a weak mind trying to express itself forcefully. You know what would happen if I did that? Nothing good. Judgmentalism, probably. Nothing good. You know what I mean? Let God be God. If someone comes to me and say, yeah, I noticed that you don't ever swear, for instance, or something like that, I say, yeah, you know, and I'd share the verses out of, you know, there's plenty on taming the tongue and, you know, the sweet and bitter water coming from the same fountain, these things ought not to be. And there's plenty of verses on that, right? And by the way, just because you don't swear doesn't mean you're not going to hell. I always try to remember, it's the gospel, right? We do these things because we love Jesus Christ, because, not in order to get God to love us. That's religion. I would tell you, give up on religion. Boy, if I do X, Y, and Z, and I stop doing A, B, and C, then God will love me. No, no, no. If you've never heard the good news, hear it now. God loves you right this second. And he wants to save you right this second. And he wants to deliver us from A, B, C, X, Y, Z. Try to do it without him, you're going to become a Pharisee if you're successful. I don't even know how I got there. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, speak the truth in love, grow up in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Grow up into him. So that's the point. He's the head of the body. Now, verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Easily said, you're the body, and you're made up of a lot of parts. Well, you can see that because you can see it in a human body. Imagine if it was just all random and every body was different. You had a arm growing out of the side of your head, and God geniusly devised the body to work in such and such a way. And you need all the component parts if it's going to work properly. And this is what he's saying, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. There's a lot of people who don't believe that. They believe that Christianity is an individual game, individual sport. And I'm saying, no, it's a team sport. We're growing together. Can you grow by yourself? I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I'm not with you all week long while you're reading your Bible, while God's speaking to you, while God's dealing with you. Yeah. But to be really successful Christian, you're going to grow in the body of Christ. And to grow in our love for God is to grow in love for his bride. You know, I can show you this about a million different ways. What's the most important commandment? Someone comes and asks Jesus, you love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I always feel like adding duh at the end of that. I mean, isn't that obvious? And I'll tell you what, two-for-one deal today. I'm giving out extra. You didn't ask, but I'll tell you. And love your neighbors yourself. To love God. The way I love God best is by loving you. How do I love you best? By loving God. That's a vicious cycle, isn't it? Not so vicious, but it is a cycle. I love you best by loving God, by following hard after him. And I can serve you best by loving God incredibly in my life. How do I love God incredibly? By serving and loving you. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Anything more important than that? Boy, I'd sure like to know. But there is, of course, nothing more important than that. That's what he said. That's the major commandment. That's the whole thing. You got that down, you're doing pretty good, okay? And a lot of people don't understand it. They don't believe it. If they don't look past their own nose, my whole life is right here. And as far as you're concerned, well, I hope you're doing okay. I mean, hope, but I mean, that's nothing to me. Not really, it's not. Really? I don't know how to think in those terms. I mean, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth, now this is kind of almost like a new, this is what I wanted to get last week, so I get the whole first half of this just getting to where I wanted to be last week. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk like everybody else, especially Gentiles. You're saying, well, they are Gentiles. He's saying, don't walk as other Gentiles, unbelieving Gentiles. Read here, unbeliever, okay? That's all he's saying. Don't walk like people who don't believe. Now, the church has a problem. We're trying to mirror our culture and mirror our world and trying to be as close to them as possible. They have Grammys, we have Dove Awards. What's that? By the way, I've never seen them. Not, and, oh, I can criticize a thousand different ways. They have nightclubs, we have Christian nightclubs. I turn up the light a little bit more. You drink Shirley Temples and I don't know all else, whatever. We try to be, and we're not building a bridge, by the way. That's the concept. That's like, you know, we want to show them we're not like aliens from a different planet. We're trying to be like them and show them that, see, you can be a Christian and be like a normal person. What does the Bible say about any of that? Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. By the way, and I'll bless your life in its separation. And I don't say this in a legalistic way. You understand, right? When you walk with God, it's not the same walk as everybody else. They're not going in that direction. Their understanding is vanity, fruitlessness. It's like chasing after the wind. Think about this. So what is the purpose of life? You who don't believe in God, answer me this. What's the purpose of life? Well, I get up in the morning and I go to work and I make money so I can buy stuff. Then I come home and I go to bed. I, you know, eat and I shower, of course, and I go to bed and I get up so I can go to work so I can make money to earn stuff, to buy stuff. Oh, that's it? That's the whole purpose? That's it? That's it? And then what? Why I die and go in the ground. Well, isn't that a merry little profession? You've given that a lot of thought, haven't you? Yeah, that's wonderful. Hey, you have any converts to your new religion? Because I want to join. That's one, it's not true. And two, it's vanity, vexation of spirit, chasing after the wind. There's nothing to it. And that's what almost everyone I know is on that treadmill. Almost everyone I know is on that treadmill. I want to get a good job. Why? So I can buy a lot of stuff. Because he who dies with the most toys wins. That's the point. It's the whole point. I want to have a lot of stuff, and I want to tip over and leave it all to my kids and grandkids. Really? Have you thought that all the way through? It's vanity, and you don't understand the things of God. If I've been teaching all this time and you've been attending regularly, you have no idea what I'm saying. That's a very, very, very bad sign. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foreign to him. He can't get his mind around them. So I would say, well, get saved. Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth comes to live in your life, and all of a sudden it's all like, oh. And now we understand some things. Don't walk like the other Gentiles walk. It's vain. It's futile. Having their understanding darkened. Is there light? No, it's darkness. They understand. And you talk to them. You have. What's it all about?
Well, I don't know. You live and then you die and you become fertilizer.
I'm sorry to mock, but actually, no, I'm not. It's you have to laugh because you'd cry otherwise. It's dark. And it's all about me. Well, what about your neighbor who's struggling? Well, I don't care. He can figure it out. I have to figure it out. Having the understanding darkened. Why? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Does that sound like anyone you know? It sounds like everyone I know. Adam, you just called me ignorant? No. I know some people who are unbelievers who are brilliant. I mean brilliant. There's people inside the church and outside the church who are brilliant. Don't go by that, right? But the problem with people outside is this. Ignorance. They ignore. They don't think in those terms. They don't want to think in those terms. They ignore the things of God. And you ask them, they just want to quickly change the subject to something else. They don't understand, and they don't want to understand. Okay, I'm living in darkness, but remember John chapter 3, I prefer the darkness. I don't want to come to the light, because then you'll see that my deeds are evil. It's a preference, and it's ignoring the call of God in your life. Do you think God calls everybody? I'm just asking. He's not willing that any should perish. You're here and you're saved. You love Jesus with your whole heart. You were this, alienated from God. You didn't have your understanding was darkness. You were ignoring with God's call. You had blindness of your heart, and now you love Jesus with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. What happened? You accepted, you invited Christ to live in you. And he said, oh, absolutely. You have no idea how long I've wanted to hear that. You have no idea. Since the beginning of forever, I wanted that prayer from you specifically. When I hung on the cross, I loved you. I was thinking about you. So you asked him to come in your heart, and everything changed. Now, the person that hasn't happened for you, you think God loves them? You think he's made the gospel available to? I'm just asking. Just a thought. You're his favorite. And he just loves you and he hates everybody else. Oh, I bet you are. But I think everyone's his favorite. He's not willing that any should perish. Oh, he's talking about our situation, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So what happens when you say pass? Being past feeling. You don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't care what God thinks about me. I don't care what people think about me. Past, I don't have any feelings left. You've scalded your conscience with a hot iron. You can't feel anymore. You've given yourself over to, what's the word there, hun, for lasciviousness? And you got it naspy, right? Indecent behavior. It's talking about sexual perversion, lasciviousness. You know, I say about a guy, like especially an old lascivious old goat, Aqualung, think, if you're given a Jethro Tull back in the day. Some old, well, you know, sitting on the park bench watching all the little girls with evil intent, lascivious. You know, just his whole mind's twisted. It's all about sex all the time. That's because evil doesn't sleep. I just want this level of evil or indifference in my life, and I don't care. Just, oh, would to God that you were able to stay there in a place where God could maybe still reach you. No, you go farther and farther and farther and farther down the hole. But you have not so learned Christ. Now, we just turned a corner there, right? Any you! Hey, you're not a lascivious old goat. You're not like all, you know, perverted all the time. You're not past feeling. You know, when you do something wrong and you think like, oh, that wasn't quite, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted like that. That wasn't very godly behavior. And the Spirit of God is working. Shaming you? No, bringing you to repentance. He's not, you know, I said this like 1,000 times. Well, here's 1,001. God's more willing to forgive us than we are to be forgiven. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Didn't you remember the psalm I just read? He takes our sins and he, as far as the east is from the west, he's anxious to get rid of our sins so we have that not interrupted fellowship at all. You haven't learned Christ, so that's not your life. It's the life of the unbeliever. And it can be a Christian's life if they don't maintain. I've seen people, and I wonder if just how far they've gone. You know what I mean? I've seen, you know, they're here, they're excited, they're the sparklers all lit, and they, Jesus this and Jesus that, and isn't God awesome? And, you know, every time the doors open to hear, and there's baptism, and there's just loving the Lord. And then little by little, what was it? What did we talk about Wednesday night? That hill of beams, right? Shammah says, these are God's beams. They ain't going anywhere. There'll be Philistine beams over my dead body. And it's just a hill of beans. It's just a hill of beans. And little by little by little, we get on that treadmill and we just go down, 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 farther and farther and farther away from God. When is the place where we can't hear his voice anymore? Is that the most terrifying thing you've ever heard in your life? A place where you can't hear his voice anymore? Because, listen, God, 120 years, Noah's building the ark. 120 years, he's calling for repentance. Him, his wife, his three kids and their wives, eight people get on the ark, and God closed the door. It's time. That happens. It happens in people's lives. It happens in people's lives all the time. Every time I share the gospel, I think, is this the last time this person's going to hear it? Are they past the point where they can repent? Well, I don't know that. I never know that. But they're who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's a verse. I want to speak the truth of love. I love you enough to say, you got to repent. Just listen, if you're not saved, let's fix that up today. Let's pray today. But you have not learned Christ. You have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus is in the truth, and Jesus is the truth, capital T truth. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Christ. Have you heard him? Have you heard his voice? Today you hear the voice of God. Harden not your hearts. This is in the day of provocation. You know what Scripture says? Adam, I don't know that I've ever heard God. Well, that'd be very concerning. That'd be very alarming. But I want to help you a little bit. If you're saying, I've never audibly heard the voice of God, well, welcome to my life. Every day we do this Bible reading, right? And if you're reading with us, great. If you're not, that's great. Again, no judgment, right? But we read the verses and all that stuff. Okay, plans. It's taking me just a second to get there. Like yesterday, talk it over. And it says, like, what verse is God speaking to you about? And that's the question to ask. God speaks to us through his word. Other ways, but that's the primary way God speaks to us. And we understand that he's moving in our hearts in such and such a way. Have you heard a verse? And you say, oh, wow. And I'm praying as I'm listening. God, that really thrills me. That really blesses my heart. Ooh, God, that really convicts me. Oh, Lord, that's a call to arms. I hear what you're saying. Do you do that? Do you walk through the Scripture with him and hear his audible? It's not audible with me. It might as well be. If you get quiet before the Lord, he's got a lot of things to say to us. Some of them are, hey, Adam, son, smarten up and fly right. You better want to repent of this. It's not going to go good if you keep up with these attitudes and these actions. And sometimes it's a real blessing. I like the way you did that. I like the how you took that right in a situation. You prayed for that person and let them know about my... I really enjoyed listening to that. He has a lot of things to say to us. You've never heard anything like that? That's concerning. But think that as your feelings are being moved, they didn't used to be. Like when I read the Bible as a little kid, that was nothing. You know, I went to church, Mass, and they read Scriptures, and it was like, yeah, what's the old guy on about now? What's the guy in the dress talking about now? I don't know, whatever. Right? Is it that way now? Again, that would be very concerning if the answer to that question is yes. If so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye I was hoping, okay, I'll be silly now. I was hoping to get through this whole chapter. It's fine. It's fine. And I don't mind lingering over the verses. This is where we live. This is really important stuff. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the former life is what they're talking about. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now you take off that old man, no, not your dad, the old man, right? No, the person who you were, the person who wasn't redeemed, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, the old creation, the old, okay? You put that off. We're not trying to be like the world. We're trying to be like Jesus. And we're trying to be obedient to what God wants to do in our lives. And we got to put off. Now, okay, swearing, just because it's right on top of my mind. I swore up a storm. I'm careful, try not to bring it into the house. I told you about the one time I did. That didn't go really good. A new way of speaking. A new vocabulary. Jesus isn't a curse word. He's a blessed Savior. And having to, you know, and we work through things, and people were very gracious to me. People were very gracious to me at the beginning. I think they still are for the most part. I get a hall pass most time. People are gracious. I try not to be, you know, such a sinner and sin in everyone's face and without any repentance. I don't want to be like that. And then you kind of wear out everybody's, go through their grace pretty quick. But you want to be a new creation Christ. I mean, you are. You want to act like that. You want to say, you want to have a different way, a different method about you. You want to be loving. You want to reflect Christ. You want to be, you know, I've heard sermons, and I had this thing I was listening to, kind of a sermon of the week club. It didn't cost anything, but they had these very often, these, and they always had a Scottish accent or something like that. And I don't know what it is about Scotland, but you always, the red-faced, angry preacher, and you're sinning and you're going to repent. It's just like, and it felt like, you know, wow. I agree with the essence of what they're saying. Choose to sin, choose to suffer, right? Didn't we? In Lamentations, I've quoted that several times. Choose to sin, choose to suffer. Look at the destruction of Jerusalem. No, you wouldn't turn. You wouldn't repent. And now, what? Moms eating their children? That's kind of bad, isn't it? No, repent is probably a better idea. You put off. Don't be like that. Make it a goal. I said before, I'm going to end here. God's got like one goal every day in your life. I want to make you more and more and more like Jesus. He's not ambivalent about that. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to become unto the likeness of the image of his Son. You know the verse, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. You know that. What's the good? The good, and sometimes it's very bad. What's happening? This isn't fun. This is bad. You know, doctor gave me a real bad prognosis. I only got X amount of, not me, I'm for instance, right? And, that's not good. That's very good. It's very good. It's going to make you become more and more like Jesus. You're going to seek the Lord. You're going to draw close to him. That's very good. Don't try to be like you used to be. Don't hang on to the way things were. God saved you out from that. I want to spend a long time here because this is the problem as I see it. We have people who just get stunted in their growth. They're born again. They ask Christ into their life, into their heart, and they mean it. And then they just try to be like they always were. They just, I'll be damned if I'm going to change. Yeah. Life is not going to be blessed. It's going to be under a curse. No, we want to put that off. It's corrupt. It's deceitful, those lusts. And we want to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How does that happen? Well, how does the Spirit renew your mind? Through Scripture, through meditation, through prayer, through fellowship, through all the things that all the tools at His disposal, mostly through Scripture. I know the answer to the question is affirmative. Have you been reading Scripture and said, oh, man, Lord, you're right. Look at, I can give you an example, verse 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You're asleep on the couch? And you read that verse and said, yep, that's the answer. You're right, Lord, you're right, absolutely. Hey, nobody's going to tell me. I'll tell her. She ain't going to, no. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I'm going to change my thinking about this. Maybe I'm going to have to apologize when I've done something wrong. We think in terms different now. We're not the old person anymore. We let the Spirit of God lead us in such a direction that's more and more like Christ. And we aid and abet His work in our life by trying to accomplish what He's also trying to accomplish. We're not dragging our feet. We're not throwing a hissy fit. We're not rebelling against the leadership of God in our life. We're like, yeah, I'm on board. I want to be more and more like Jesus. That's it. Now we'll. There's a lot more to be said here, and we'll take this up next week, and we'll, God willing, finish the chapter off. We'll see. I know. Hey, we've been going pretty slow. This is kind of like some of the high ground in the whole New Testament. I kind of want to go over it in such a way that we get it. Let's stand. Our worship team's going to come and send us out of here. Sing it to this immensely great God. If you don't know that, I kind of wish you would. I wish you'd ask Him into your life, ask Him into your heart, ask Jesus to save you from your sins. I'll be here. We can pray together.